And now, from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Scott Van Dusen. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, the 13th of March, 2019. Glad you could make it for this edition of the podcast. Well, today was the day Manafort skated past a long prison sentence again today. Given his two federal convictions now, he is facing total 7.5 years in prison as he returned to the jail cell in Alexandria, Virginia, where he's been held for 9 months. Prosecutors in New York, though, announced a new 16-count indictment, this poor fucker, charging Trump's former campaign manager with mortgage fraud, falsifying business records, conspiracy. Boy, I tell you, scratch anybody who works around Trump, and include Trump in that, you find just, the kind of fraud and criminal activity that should just embarrass the hell out of the President of the United States if he had any kind of a sense of dignity or decency, but it doesn't. You would think that given what is turning up, all these charges and guilty pleas and convictions, and that Trump would say, okay, I resign. No, he's not going to do that. And this new 16-count grand jury indictment out of New York, that's beyond Trump's reach. He won't be able to issue pardons for state charges, as we all know now. I didn't know that. I thought a president could pardon anybody for anything. Well, we learned something new. Under the Constitution, presidents have wide authority to pardon, but that only applies to federal crimes, federal convictions. Anyway, I'm sure you heard this so far today, but what the hell? In court today, the judge, Amy Berman Jackson, and by the way, I committed a huge faux pas the other day, I think last week, when I made the statement that Judge Amy Berman Jackson was African American. Well, she's not. My bad. She is European-American. How's that? Anyway, she criticized Manafort and his attorneys for repeatedly saying that his criminal activity is just collateral damage from the special counsel investigation, Robert Mueller's investigation, of Russian interference. That Trump keeps saying that because Trump is a filthy pig. Judge Jackson said, quote, "This defendant is not public enemy number one, but he's also not a victim either." She went on, "There's no question this defendant knew better, and he knew exactly what he was doing," end quote. Why, of course he did. But he sure got into court and started whining and pleading. He wanted to spend time with his wife. Oh, really? Well, lock her ass up, too. She's enjoyed the benefits of his criminal activity. Give him a jail cell. Anyway, for his crimes of illegally lobbying in Ukraine, hiding the proceeds overseas, all the shit that he's done, encouraging witnesses to lie on his behalf, woohoo! Judge Jackson. Excuse me. Judge Jackson added 43 months to the 47 months that Manafort got in Alexandria federal court last week for bank fraud, tax fraud. What a greasy, slimy, shitty human being he is, isn't he? Huh? Outside the courthouse, his attorney, Manafort's attorney, this grim-looking Kevin Downing, called Judge Jackson's sentence, quote, callous, hostile, and totally unnecessary. Really? Really, Attorney Downing? Really? You slimy little shit. That's the reason you're his attorney, though, because you're a slimy little shit. And once again, just like he did after the last sentence, this pig attorney emphasized that the judge had acknowledged there was, quote, no evidence of any collusion with Russia in this case, end quote. That was never the issue. Never. There was no evidence that Manafort murdered a bunch of geese in a public park the other day either. But that wasn't the issue, was it? As he addressed, I saw this on TV, I was kind of happy to hear it, as this strange-looking attorney, this grim, another, you know, I can't help it. Y'all have to excuse me. So many of these people look like Nazis. They look like Ukrainian death camp guards, especially this Kevin Downing. Jesus. I mean, he really, really does. And that creep that was the acting attorney general for a while, that huge ball-headed zombie-looking fuck.
Whitaker.
I mean, these people, it's like they come out of central casting. Give me, Trump must have said to somebody, give me the most belligerent-looking, brain-dead-looking, zero-IQ-looking people you can find. Woo! But this Kevin Downing today, while he was trying to explain in his little press briefing that there was no mention of collusion with the Russians, of course, that was not the issue, you dumb shit. Mueller's report may change that a little bit. But while Kevin Downing, this Ukrainian prison guard, was talking, he was repeatedly interrupted by protesters who were shouting, liar and traitor. I like the guy in the background. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but this person had purple hair, holding up a sign that said, this is a sign. Oh, that was cool. I like that. This is a sign. Where was I? And Judge Jackson from the bench said that in the courtroom, the defense, this Ukrainian prison guard, Kevin Downing, the repeated claims about the lack of collusion with the Russian government, Judge Jackson said it's a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with why your ass is going to prison, you grim-looking, wheelchair-bound fuck you. You're going to prison. Has nothing to do with collusion. Has to do with the crimes you committed. Jackson said that any assertion about collusion was not persuasive to her, but perhaps was intended for another, her word, audience. You think? Maybe an audience of one? Ah, I wonder who it is. That orange-looking bastard in the White House? Of course. They keep, the attorney for Manafort has to keep pounding home into Trump's thick skull that his boy, Paul Manafort, did not rat him out where it concerned collusion. Mueller will bring all that stuff out. And the reason the Ukrainian prison guard, Kevin Downing, Manafort's attorney, the reason he keeps pounding that point is so that Trump will, he didn't do no collusion, okay, so that Trump will pardon him. We'll see. Amy Jackson, Judge Amy Jackson, said that the question of whether anyone in a Trump campaign conspired or colluded with Russian government was not involved in this case, had nothing to do with this. That doesn't matter to Kevin Downing, this Ukrainian prison guard-looking geek. He doesn't care. He's throwing little spitballs to Trump. There's no evidence of collusion. Yeah, Jesus. Judge Jackson added that the assertion that there was no talk or evidence or anything of collusion may not even be accurate because Mueller's probe is not over. And she found, Judge Jackson found, that Manafort had lied to investigators about issues at the heart of that inquiry. So, yeah, there will be collusion. Judge Jackson said, quote, "It's not appropriate to say investigators haven't found anything when you lied to the investigators, Mr. Manafort," end quote. Manafort had faced as many as 10 years in prison today after pleading guilty to conspiracy to defraud the United States. Conspiracy to defraud the United States. So he gets 46 months, right? 46 months. And I just wonder, about the people who, or 43 months, I wonder about the people who are sitting in prisons now, who are convicted of selling marijuana or cocaine or heroin, and they are all doing very, very lengthy prison sentences, maybe up to 30 or 40 years. And here, this stumble bum son of a bitch, Paul Manafort, at least 20 people, according to the Washington Post, from the special counsel's team, were in the courtroom today, which is a sign of the importance of Manafort's conviction to the overall investigation by Mueller. Trump, the orange bastard, in remarks to questions from reporters today, after a White House briefing on border security, the orange asshole said, quote, "I feel very badly for Paul Manafort, and certainly on a human basis, it's a very sad thing." Oh. On a human basis, as opposed to on the basis of a chair or a bag of oranges. I mean, on a human basis. Asked if he would pardon Manafort. You know, you got to wonder, what what member of the press would toss out that question expecting an answer? Well, probably nobody. I think the reason the question is asked, to see if they can get a dumb shit answer from Trump that then will go into media reports and make Trump look even stupider than he already is. But he was asked if he would pardon Manafort. Trump said, quote, "I've not even given it a thought. As of this moment, it's not something that right now on my mind. And I'm not aware of any of the state charges." You will be, dip fuck, because you're going to wind up with state charges too. Yeah. Jesus. The district attorney for Manhattan, Cyrus Vance Jr., said in a statement announcing the indictment that, quote, "No one is above the law in New York." End quote. No one is above the law in New York. Bum, bum, bum. And the state case emerged out of an investigation that began in March 2017. Has nothing to do with whatever Trump wants to cloud the issue about. And Cyrus Vance said that Manafort's new indictment addresses, quote, "the integrity of our residential mortgage market." So what they're going to come after him for in New York now, the state charges, are his Ukrainian prison guard attorney will be able to say when Manafort's convicted of these charges, it's nothing to do with collusion. No shit. But your boy is still going to jail. And you're not going to be able to grease him out through the bars with Trump's help when he's convicted in New York State. Aw. Judge Amy Jackson's characterizations of Manafort during the trial or during the sentencing today stood in real contrast to the words of the Virginia sentencing judge, that crazy little showboat T.S. Eliot III, who said Manafort has lived, quote, an otherwise blameless life. I wonder who provided Judge Ellis with that line. Or is Judge Ellis the dumbest son of a bitch ever to sit on the bench? Probably the latter. A little showboat prick who just, you know, he's got his judgeship. That's about as far as he's ever going to go. Jesus. Jackson spent nearly 40 minutes in her courtroom this morning describing the highly describing the high flying influence peddler named Paul Manafort as a persistent liar who undermined democracy out of personal greed. But his Ukrainian prison guard afterwards stood there and said, no collusion. Hey, Mr. Trump, can you hear me? Judge Jackson said, quote, his crimes were not just a failure to comply with some pesky regulations, but lying to the American people and the American Congress. And she said, it's hard to overstate the number of lies and the amount of money involved. The same thing. What the hell is going on here? I hate iPhones, you know. I really do. Hold on a second while I disable this son of a bitch. Ugh. Jesus. It's hard to overstate the number of lies and the amount of money involved, Judge Jackson said. And she added that Manafort's motivation to do these crimes was, quote, not to support a family, but to sustain a lifestyle that was ostentatiously opulent and extravagantly lavish, more houses than a family can enjoy, more suits than one man can wear, end quote. Ooh. But she also felt that the sentencing guidelines in the case were excessive. And she said that Manafort's age, the millions of dollars he had to forfeit, and the fact that his finances and career are, quote, in tatters, end quote, minimized the chances that he would offend again. I don't know what they're worried about. I mean, Manafort, he's 69, almost 70 years old. He's got Social Security. He's got Medicare. Fuck him. A lot of people in this country, that provides a basis for their financial security, Social Security, maybe a $200 a month pension from someplace. Well, Paulie is going to learn how to live like that, right? If he gets out of prison alive, which he may not. Anyway, Judge Jackson said that Manafort will get credit for the 9 months he's already served in the Virginia slam since June, when Judge Jackson ordered his ass locked up after he was tampering with witnesses. What a guy, huh? Criminal little fuck. Oh, my God. And in the courtroom, he apologized to, quote, all those negatively affected by my actions. Ah, and he acknowledged that he had not expressed that kind of regret when he was sentenced in Virginia, he added this from his wheelchair. Quote, "Let me be very clear. I accept responsibility for the actions that led me to be here today. And I want to apologize for all I contributed to the impacts on people and institutions. While I cannot change the past, I can work to change the future." Oh, yeah? And then he turned to face Jackson. He said, quote, "I want to say to you now, I am sorry for what I have done and for all the activities that have gotten us here today." End quote. He added that 9 months in what he called solitary confinement gave him, quote, "new self-awareness," end quote. Manafort had been held in protective custody away from other inmates. Because, you know, somebody might want to beat his ass bloody or even kill him. You know, people who go to prison these days, since we no longer provide mental health treatment on a level needed, a lot of people that go to prison because their behavior puts them there, but the behavior that they exhibit is because they're insane. Prosecutors, of course, questioned whether Manafort was capable of change, even though Pauly said, "I'm going to change." Yeah. They depicted him, the prosecutors, as a mastermind of a conspiracy in which he was paid $50 million by a Russian-backed politician and a Russian-backed party, political party in Ukraine, and that mysterious floating ghoster Oleg Deripaska, Vladimir Putin's alter ego. I'm sure we'll hear his name again. We've heard it a lot so far. Prosecutor in this, Andrew Weissman, said, quote, "His work," Manafort's, "his work was corrosive to faith in the political process, both in the United States and abroad. He served to undermine, not promote, American ideals of honesty, transparency, and playing by the rules." What? American ideals of honesty, transparency, and playing by the rules. Who the fuck wrote that? who, I mean, the newspapers and television last 2 days are full of stuff about rich people, including William Macy and his old lady, although he hasn't been indicted. Yeah, Felicity Huffman. All these people who had tried to game the system to get their little fucking brats into schools that they don't deserve to go to. And why? I mean, so when the prosecutor says he undermined American ideals of honesty, transparency, and playing by the rules, I have one question. Who the fuck is that? Who are they talking about? Members of Congress? The president? Playing by the rules? Oh, that is so, I don't know, 1930s? Playing by the rules. Give me a fucking break. Anyway, Weissman said that Manafort's attempt to cover up his crimes by asking witnesses to lie for him, just like all these parents asked coaches and testing organizations who do the SATs to lie for them, American ideals of honesty. Oh, give me a, I'm going to throw up. Anyway, Weissman said Manafort's attempt to cover up his crimes by asking witnesses to lie for him, quote, is not reflective of somebody who has learned a harsh lesson. It is not a reflection of remorse. It is evidence that something is wrong with a sort of moral compass, end quote. He's making the assumption, Weissman, that Pauly had a moral compass? If he did, the fucking thing constantly pointed southwest or something, or east, you know. Jesus. Weissman added that Manafort led a sophisticated scheme to avoid a duty all Americans have to pay their taxes. Wait till we find out how Trump has gamed the system about paying taxes. What did my favorite now dead criminal in New York say, the woman that owned all the hotels? Leona Helmsley. Paying taxes, that's for the little people. Weissman said that this creep fuck hid his wealth in 30, count them, 30 foreign bank accounts containing more than $50 million for his work for the government, the Putin government of Ukraine. It was a Putin government. And Deripaska, Putin's alter ego. Can't wait to hear more about that guy. Now, for his part, the Ukrainian prison guard who represented Pauly, Mr. Downing, said his client is genuinely remorseful and has endured what the prison guard called a media frenzy. Well, you dumb shithead, if you don't want a media frenzy, don't come out and give your little stupid press briefing where you say, no collusion! Downing said all sides have sought to spin Pauly's predicament to their political advantage, adding that, quote, but for a short stint as campaign manager in a presidential election, I don't think we would be here today. What are you suggesting, you filthy pig, that your criminal client would still be committing the crimes that he was just convicted of in two federal courts? Fuck you, Downing. Why don't you go back to Ukraine and torture whoever it was you were in charge of torturing, you know? Jesus, God. Downing said, I think the court should consider that, too. If it wouldn't have been for this criminal in the White House, whose campaign his client ran, we wouldn't be here today. Judge Jackson kicked that argument to the curb. She told Manafort, quote, saying, I'm sorry I got caught, is not an inspiring call for leniency, boy. Now, the investigation of Manafort, of course, began before Mueller began his investigation in 2017. And it wasn't the special counsel's office that made Manafort lie to investigators, Judge Jackson pointed out. God, these people. Manafort asked for mercy. On more personal grounds, he asked Judge Jackson to weigh the effect on his wife, too. Yeah, I got a wifey. She needs me, he said. I need her. Please let my wife and I be together. Sure, after you've served 7.5 months in prison, then, oh, you know, your fucking mentor in the White House will get you out. Don't worry about it. Please. Let me be with my wifey. We love each other. Yeah. The sentencing today is part of a legal boat ride that began in October 2017 when Manafort and his longtime employee and campaign deputy, Rick Gates, remember him, became the first defendants publicly charged in the Mueller investigation. Gates later pled guilty to conspiracy and lying to the FBI. He agreed to cooperate, and he, Gates, has yet to be sentenced. All of these people, every one of them, that's one thing that Trump is right about. Every one of them, to use Trump language, is a rat. They'll rat out their own fucking mothers. Manafort would have ratted out his wife if he thought he could get a do it to Julia. Who said that? Remember Winston Smith? Do it to Julia, not me! Anyway, Manafort also pleaded guilty in Washington, D.C. and pledged to cooperate, but Judge Jackson ruled earlier this year that Manafort just shit all over that deal by continuing to lie to FBI prosecutors and a grand jury during more than 50 hours of interviews. I mean, Manafort, you know, for him to stand there and whine about, I need my wife, I need my wife. Ah, fuck you. You didn't need your wife when you were committing these crimes. Judge Jackson found that Manafort's lies included matters that are material to the Mueller investigation. That's why I say eventually this Ukrainian prison guard, who is his attorney, this Downing character, eventually there are going to be some convictions on this miserable pulley where Downing won't be able to say, see, there was no collusion. Yeah. Anyway, the judge found Manafort's lies include matters material to the Mueller investigation, including interactions with Konstantin Kalimnik, another Russian in Ukraine, a good friend, you know, of Vladimir Putin. We're very good friends. We make deals together. We make deals with your president, too. Wait till you Americans hear about that. Woo! Kalimnik, of course, is part of Russian intelligence. Kalimnik has denied that. What? Me? Russian intelligence? Oh, perish the thought. Bullshit. Kalimnik took off. I mean, you know, he's another rat. As soon as he smelled the authorities, zip! Ran out of Ukraine back into Russia to hide behind Putin's underpants. I'll be back here. Don't know. Go away. I don't know. No poly. Go. Go. Anyway, Kalimnik was indicted with Manafort on charges of conspiring to tamper with witnesses. But, of course, Kalimnik will never be brought to trial because in the glorious, freedom-loving, independence-minded Russian Republic, people don't get deported. I mean, extradited. If they're indicted in a different country, Russian law is no. You can't. What? You want to put him on trial? Come here. If you're so stupid. So Kalimnik, home free. Anyway, Judge Jackson said that the lies that poured out of Manafort's mouth, tainted any cooperation that Manafort claimed to be offering to the special counsel's bullshit. Jackson added, quote, so is he spinning the facts beforehand to get a good deal, or was he spinning the facts afterward to protect other people? We don't know. End quote. Judge Jackson. What was it? At one point, Manafort said today that he was turning his he didn't say he was turning his life over to God, but he I don't know what he said, something about, well, God is going to take care of me. Oh, really? God? What God is that? Your Christian God? Is that the same God that all these so-called Christians in the House and the Senate, is that the same God there, Pauly? So, a state grand jury in New York State indicted Manafort today. And the announcement of that indictment, 16-count indictment, that came just minutes after Manafort was sentenced in federal court. And as the Post puts it, Washington Post puts it this way, and this is very true. The charges filed against Manafort in New York State may stand as a kind of prosecutorial insurance policy against a possible presidential pardon. The president's called Manafort brave because he's not a rat. He lied, so he's brave. See, that's brave to Trump. He lied, you know? He lied. He protected me. He protected me, Donnie, right? You're good, Paulie. You're a good boy, Paulie. Am I going to pardon you? Fuck you, Paulie. Seriously, you know? I don't know who you are. What? You only work for me, what, a week? 6 minutes? I don't know who you are. Get the fuck out of here, bully. Trump has refused to discuss presidential pardon for Paulie. But he did call him, he's not a rat, he's brave. I like people who are not a rat. Yeah, you know. A spokesman for Manafort did not comment on the new charges. I would think not. What was he going to say? Let me see. All right, where am I? Hold on just a minute here. Jib, 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 jib. These charges by New York State stem from the same conduct that led to Manafort's federal conviction, that he submitted false information to banks when he was trying to get loans. The 16-count indictment, in case you didn't write it down the first time I said it, it accuses Paulie of residential mortgage fraud, attempted residential mortgage fraud, falsifying business records, scheming to defraud, and conspiracy. He's so fucked. Yeah, he really is. Oh, my God. The state charges reference an email in which Paulie tells someone they need to be at his Howard Street property, at Paulie's property. So it appears that they live there. It was revealed at Manafort's trial in federal court in Virginia that he had told a lender that his daughter and son-in-law were living at the condo, when in fact it was used as a rental. What a cheesy fuck. I mean, really, his theft and his crimes are on a massive scale, in the tens of millions of dollars. But when you get right down to it, He's just like somebody who goes into a fucking grocery store and changes the price tags, you know, on tomatoes. These tomatoes are 89 cents a pound. These are 59. So, you know, Manafort is the type that would change the little stickers. I'm not going to pay 89 cents for fucking tomatoes, man. Let me switch the sticker. That's Manafort. That's Paulie, you know. Yeah. Tell him that you own a condo. Don't tell him I'm renting it to people. What a cheesy little fuck. You know, I mean, really, oh well. The state charges also reference Paulie's asking someone to sign a letter indicating that Paulie had let them use his credit card to buy baseball season tickets. It was revealed at Manafort's trial in Virginia that he had asked his longtime deputy Rick Gates to say he had incurred the debt, when in fact it was Paulie was the one who purchased the tickets. See what I mean about the changing the stickers on tomatoes? Huh? Big time gangster, right? Big time rat, non-rat. Big time gangster. You little shit. Anyway. I hope I don't talk about Paulie for a while. If you feel sorry for Paulie, don't. There are a lot of people in prison that deserve feeling sorry for, feeling compassion for, or pity. Not this creep fuck Paul Manafort. All right, let's take a break. I'll be back. When we come back, Tucker Carlson makes sex jokes about Miss Teen USA contestant in an audio. A bunch of audios are surfacing. Tucker Carlson, who's trying to identify himself as a real hardcore conservative right-wing leader of America, is a fucking child molesting, in his imagination, punk. We'll be right back. So for the third day in a row, another set of Tucker Carlson, that little shit on the Fox sewer, recordings have been made public of Tucker Carlson. He's a typical little punk right winger. The recordings show Tucker Carlson's attitude about, in this instance, about girls and women. Anyway, the new recordings, the newly released recordings, show Tucker joking about having sex with a teenage beauty pageant contestant. I'm laughing at him. He's such a hypocritical little fucker. I mean, he always has been. He always wanted to be Sean Hannity, but he couldn't. So he's trying to out conservative Hannity. Hannity's not a conservative. Hannity is a rich little fascist pig. So keep going, Tucker. In the tapes, Tucker also makes a series of sexist, misogynist, and cruel remarks about that young woman. Remember who she was, a contestant in the 2007 Miss Teen USA competition, the one that made the statement that everybody laughed at? Do you remember her?
The Miss South Carolina.
Miss South Carolina, right. Yeah. Carlson said on... She kept saying, such as... it was sad. Carlson, on the recording, said, "She's so dumb." It's an interview on the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show. That's something Tucker Carlson would be on. Anyway, it was discovered by Media Matters for America, the nonprofit journalistic watchdog organization. And it was first published by the Now This News website. Tucker said, now listen to this. This should really get the attention of any parent like me who has a teenage daughter like I do. This is what Tucker Carlson said, quote, she's vulnerable. She's like a wounded gazelle separated from the herd. And Tucker sees him as the lioness, I guess, who is about to go kill the gazelle. Carlson then speculated, with no evidence, of course, because he's a little prick on the Fox sewer, that the pageant's host, actor Mario Lopez, had sex with this girl, who Carlson believed was underage at the time. The radio host, Bubba the Love Sponge, said, "Well, she was 17. Couldn't that be a problem legally? Mario fucked it?" Yeah. Carlson responded, No, are you kidding? He's like James Brown," referring to James Brown, who was arrested on domestic violence charges and went to jail. Carlson said, "The normal laws for that kind of thing don't apply to him. He gets a pass," back referring to the host of the teen beauty contest. And Bubba the Love Sponge said, "Hey, Tucker's dark, man. Tucker's dark, man. That's really bugging dark. Yeah." At one point in the recording, Tucker Carlson says that this teenage girl, quote, "probably would be a pretty good wife, don't you think? I mean, if you had a wife that dumb, would that be good or bad?" The answer from the people with Bubba the Love Sponge was a resounding, "Good, that would be good," Carlson then says. I can't read it. Carlson then says, "What fun it would be messing around with somebody like that," an apparent reference to his expressing a desire to have sex with this young girl. Caitlin Upton is the young girl that Carlton ridiculed and objectified. She was Miss South Carolina Teen USA that year. And she'd already gotten pretty harsh treatment at the hands of internet and media commentators who mocked her for an answer that she gave during that pageant. In 2015, Ms. Upton told New York Magazine that the humiliation that she felt nearly led her to suicide. She said, quote, "I was very, very depressed," end quote. And at the time, the Fox toilet sewer carried that story. Now, this unearthed audio is the latest in a series of revelations that began Sunday when Media Matters released audio of Tucker Carlson degrading women and flippantly discussing child rape in these old, not so old, radio interviews. On Monday, Media Matters published more audio, this time revealing racist and homophobic remarks Tucker Carlson made on the same program, Bubba the Love Sponge, which he apparently called into. He would call in for an hour every week, Tucker Carlson. This was after he got fired from CNN, maybe before he started at Fox. I'm not sure. Now, facing heat from critics across the political spectrum in the past couple of days, Mr. Tucker Carlson has repeatedly refused to back down or to condemn his past comments or even apologize. On Monday, he said that Fox News Network supports him. Well, of course it does. What the fuck? Why wouldn't they? Carlson issued a statement, quote, "Fox News is behind us, as they have been since the very first day. Toughness is a rare quality in the TV network, and we're grateful for that." Toughness? Allowing one of your high-paid punk-ass hosts to not even apologize for statements he made several years ago, denigrating women, people of color, homosexuals. That's toughness. At Fox News it is. At that shithole of a sewer, that's toughness. After his show yesterday, Sean Hannity commended him for fending off his many detractors, little Sean Hannity, who would probably like to have sex with 12-year-olds too. It be probably already has. Hannity has that come here little girl look in his face, doesn't he? Would you like some candy from Uncle Sean? Huh? Or, well, I don't think he wants that. Hannity, addressing Carlson, said, "All right, I got to give you a compliment. Now, Tucker, he was going to be off this week. It becomes a busy news week, and he's not going to take the mob's crap. And he came into work to stand up to this. And I want the great viewers of this channel to know that." He's starting to sound just like Trump, doesn't he? Hannity is a self-described expert in dealing with the mob, his term for those people who have condemned the offensive remarks that he and Tucker Carlson have made over the years. To this little fucker Hannity, that's the mob. Hannity told Carlson before bringing up their colleague Laura Ingraham, whose show lost advertisers after she mocked a school slaughter survivor. Hannity said this yesterday, "I'm like trying to help. I'm like, you, Laura, Laura, you, me, Laura, you. It's like never stops. We're just fun-loving people trying to fuck with the mob." Oh, Hannity, you piece of shit. In all three instances, the audio that Media Matters released of Carlson was recorded between 2006 and 2011. After the first round of release of these tapes, which featured Carlson's suggestion that rape shield laws were, quote, "totally unfair," that's unfair, that women were extremely primitive, and that he would love a scenario involving young girls experimenting sexually with each other and with him. Carlson, after that first group of tapes was released, Tucker Carlson issued a defiant statement to the Washington Post. This is what he said. quote, Media Matters caught me saying something naughty. Naughty? On a radio show more than a decade ago, rather than express the usual ritual contrition, how about this? I'm on television every weeknight live for an hour. If you want to know what I think, you can watch. End quote. Fuck you. In the second round of audio, little Tucker Carlson is heard calling Iraq, quote, it's a crappy little place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate primitive monkeys, end quote. He also spoke crassly of immigrants and posed a racist question about Barack Obama's identity as a black man, quote, how is he black, for one thing? He has one white parent, one black parent. 2 years later, he added, quote, I don't know how black he is, but I'm sure he's a good basketball player. On his show this Monday, Carlson maintained that he owed nobody an apology. He said, quote, we've always apologized when we're wrong. And we'll continue to do that, but we'll never bow to the mob, ever, no matter what. A Fox News spokesman did not respond to a request for comment on Tucker Carlson's remarks about the Miss Teen USA contestant. And why should he? Now, we have a break coming up here. When we come back, there's a little bit more of this. An opinion piece by Jennifer Rubin at the Post. And also an article about how the advertisers now are leaving Carlson's show and this hideous woman, Jeanette Pirro or Pyro, Jeanine Pyro. Trump has turned this country into a Fox sewer across the board. I mean, look what happened to me. I can't open my fucking mouth without saying fuck. See? I just did it again. I'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. So, back to this Fox sewer story again, this time with Tucker Carlson. It just gets worse and worse with this horrible place. How can people work there? What's his name who owns it? How can he do that? I told you what the Post published. And as Jennifer Rubin writes, Carlson labels his critics a mob, a mob, and refuses to apologize or even disown the comments, which Media Matters had put out there in Carlson's own voice, even calling Iraqis semi-literate primitive monkeys and calling women primitive. What the fuck is wrong with Rupert Murdoch? Now, all of this with this Tucker Carlson little geek bastard, this all comes in the wake of Fox News management issuing a slap on the wrist to this crazy woman who works there, this Jeanine Pyro. That's a good name, Pyro, as in pyromaniac, I guess. After her grotesque and un-American accusation regarding Representative Ilhan Omar. Pyro said, think about it, quote, think about it. Omar wears a hijab. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution? I wonder if Jeanine Pyro is Catholic. And the reason I wonder that, not that she's part of a blood cult, if she is, but remember when John Kennedy had to go in front of a bunch of fucked up Southern Baptist ministers down in Texas and promised that his allegiance would be to the United States and not to the Pope? Now, a Muslim producer who works at Fox on Bret Baier's news show gave Pyro some hell. As Ruben points out, though, Pyro still hasn't been admonished by the so-called straight news anchors who complained about Fox's ostracism from the Democratic primary debates. If you want to be on the debates, little boys, then get rid of these racist, homophobic, anti-Islamic, and yes, anti-Semitic bastards who populate your filthy sewer. Get rid of them. Nah, you never do that, right? Anyway, some good news. Advertisers, according to the Washington Post, according to Jennifer Rubin, advertisers have begun to flee from both Pyro's show and Carlson's show. But Fox News, they're keeping them on the air. Rubin writes, now that we've established that overt ugly racism and misogyny are not career enders at Fox News, and in fact are features of these shows, I think we can understand why the Democratic Party doesn't want this outfit moderating its debates. The Fox News organization is now inextricably tied to hateful, racist, hurtful speech, not to mention complete toadyism to Trump and utter lack of journalistic standards. So it doesn't get an invitation to join polite company. And she goes on. I just want to quote directly from what she wrote. The Republicans who defend Trump remain silent and, in fact, champion Fox News and don't bother to express regret for Representative Kevin McCarthy's anti-Semitic allusion. But they have the temerity to accuse others of being insufficiently vigilant regarding racism. So the Republicans who remain silent are morally corrupt to their core. Morally corrupt to their core. They prove the Democrats' point that one party, however imperfectly, the Democrats, polices its own and condemns hate. Another party, the Republicans, use it directly and indirectly to stir up its base because its base are batshit crazy. It's easy to stir someone up who's batshit crazy, right, Fox Sewer? Without xenophobia, Trump idolatry, and Islamophobia, Fox hosts would have nothing to talk about. That's so true. Fox and its apologists tell us that critics of its host racism and misogyny are part of a insincere outrage industry. Oh, that's a new one. The outrage industry. This is like Trump's excuse that merely being politically incorrect, that he's being merely politically incorrect when he expresses racism, xenophobic, misogynistic, and Islamophobic views. It's of a piece with right-wing defenders saying he's a great president and his tweets are just words. What did Ram Dass say? Words are birds. Birds are descendants of dinosaurs. Birds will peck your fucking eyes out. Words are birds. This is a version, Jennifer writes, of blaming the victim, accusing those hurt by hate speech of being aggressors themselves because they say stop, and turning hate mongers into victims, like these pissants who work at Fox. This grubby, disgusting Sean Hannity and this Janine Pyro and Tucker Carlson, and before him Bill O'Reilly and the now dead Roger Ailes. Oh, it's a nest of scum. It's unbelievable. But I guess Rupert Murdoch figures, hey, as long as I have the number one cable network in America, and it's making me $60, $70, $80 million a year, I'm just going to keep these people on. That's another part of capitalism. Somebody could come on that program and say, Jesus sucks dog penises. And as long as the advertisers didn't flee, they would be allowed to say, Jesus sucks dog penises every goddamn day. That's how disgusting they are. Far from being insincere, the reaction to Trump, Fox, and the rest of the right-wing propaganda machine is an expression of righteous indignation, a vital part of maintaining a just and decent society. We should be angered by hate mongers, by liars, by power abusers, and others who defile the American creed. All people are created equal, which is a fucking lie. The framers never meant that. Come on, Jennifer. Moral numbness and indifference brought us Trump in the first place. Then she writes, finally, I would observe that the Republican Party and its right-wing news machines attempt to play down women's righteous anger, as seen in the hashtag MeToo movement and protests over Brett Kavanaugh, was a substantial factor in women's march out of the GOP, which in turn helped shift the suburbs to Democrats and deliver a historic thrashing to Republicans in the midterms. You see, the more the Fox-Trump industrial hate complex spews venom and denigrates its critics, the higher the level of righteous indignation rises among all those who feel themselves the sting of bigotry, or are able to empathize with those who do. In this climate, anti-Trump voters don't lose their determination to throw the haters out. It's the fuel for the Democratic resistance and the poison that is killing the Republican Party. It almost makes leaving Jean Pyro and Tucker Carlson on the air worth it. Yeah. So then the Washington Post is reporting a number of advertisers are distancing themselves from Fox News Channel shows featuring Carlson and Pyro after these two nutcases were accused of making the bigoted statements. Both have pushed back against the criticism, but multiple companies have reportedly pulled their support this week. Targeting advertisers with boycott campaigns is a frequent tactic of the critics of this sewer, and it works. Beginning Sunday, Media Matters for America started releasing those clips of Carlson making the homophobic and racist and anti-woman and anti-Semitic statements on Bubba the Love Sponge Show. It was a Tampa-based radio show. Yeah, that figures. In one set of recordings, Tucker Carlson made controversial statements about child rape and comments that were misogynistic. Here's what he's heard saying this on one recording, quote, if you're talking to a feminist and she's giving you, well, you know, men really need to be more sensitive. No, actually, men don't need to be more sensitive. You just need to be quiet and do what you're told, end quote. He's addressing that to women. In another segment, Carlson is heard calling Iraq a crappy place filled with a bunch of, you know, semi-literate primitive monkeys, and jokingly using a homophobic slur. Yeah. After these recordings were published by Media Matters, some companies decided to pull their advertising. Not enough, though. Debbie Jennings, a spokeswoman for Sheiks, you've seen the commercials, that bedding company, told the Washington Post yesterday that, quote, due to the inappropriate statements of Tucker Carlson that recently come to light, Sheiks has made the decision to cease advertising on his program, Tucker Carlson Tonight. AstraZeneca tweeted Monday that it had ceased advertising on Carlson's show and would not resume in the future. And in a statement to the Washington Post this week, this little rat bastard, Tucker Carlson, was just absolutely defiant. because he's a white male on Fox. He can do any fucking thing he wants to do. So he thinks. He said this, quote, Media Matters taught me saying something naughty on a radio show more than a decade ago, caught me. Rather than address the usual ritual contrition, I've already said this, if you know what I think, you can watch my program, blah, blah, blah. Fox News Channel spokeswoman Carly Shanahan, what have you had to give up, Carly, to work there? She responded to a request for comment by resending a December statement on boycott efforts against Tucker's program. The December statement said this, quote, we cannot and will not allow voices like Tucker Carlson be censored by agenda-driven intimidation efforts from the likes of MoveOn.org, Media Matters, and Sleeping Giants, end quote. Agenda-driven intimidation efforts. When you say to somebody, why are you using rotten language to denigrate people? That's agenda-driven. You rotten sons of bitches. I'll tell you what, Carly Shanahan, you've really sold your soul to Satan, haven't you? You really have. You really, Carly Shannon, have sold your soul to Satan, haven't you? Working in that shithole of a place? What kind of comments are made about you? You think Tucker Carlson respects you? I don't know. Novo Nordisk, another pharmaceutical company, told the Washington Post it was, quote, re-evaluating, end quote, its ads on Pyro's show. A spokesman for Novo Nordisk, Ken Inchausti, confirmed that Novo Nordisk will continue to advertise elsewhere on Fox. A spokesman for Let Go, a website for buying and selling used goods, told The Hollywood Reporter, quote, we absolutely condemn Ms. Pyro's comments, which are offensive and completely contrary to our values. We are in the process of ensuring our ads will no longer run during her show. Well, get the fuck off Fox. Why do you advertise on Fox? NerdWallet told The Hollywood Reporter, quote, we're no longer advertising on this show and don't have plans to in the future. Think Progress reported the Botox manufacturer Allergan and Great Call, a health technology company, would not advertise their products on Pyro's show going forward. Jesus. I just, any time I talk about the scum on Fox, I feel dirty inside. You know what I mean? But, it shouldn't come as a surprise that this shit goes on. It just shouldn't come as a surprise. You know, when you have a society, a country, a nation, that every single human being on earth who has any interest in the U.S. Constitution or any interest in the United States, every person on earth who has that interest understands how this country came into being. The absolute genocide against people who are already here. Genocide. Lies. Making treaties with the original inhabitants of this place, making treaties and then breaking them, giving the poor freezing Indians blankets saturated with what, typhus? Smallpox. Slaughtering entire villages of men, women, and children. We don't talk about that, do we? We don't tell our school kids that, do we? We sanitize the language. The pioneers traveled west and established their farms and their ranches on somebody else's land. Kind of like the Israelis have done to the Palestinians, only on a much, much larger scale in this country. Much larger. And slavery? Who on earth does not know that the United States permitted, celebrated the wholesale kidnapping of millions of people from the African continent, millions, to bring here the ones that survived, the ones who didn't die in the passage from Africa to the United States, and brought them here and put them into slavery until they died? Who wants to come to this country doesn't understand, doesn't know that, and doesn't know that our Constitution said all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's astonishing. And the people who wrote that, for the most part, were 20 and 30-something white men, Europeans, landowners. How the fuck did they do that? Knowing that they were committing into the founding documents of this country lies, hypocrisy, and deceit. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, we're supposed to celebrate Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Ben Franklin and just on and on and on and on and on, all the great framers of the Constitution. Why? No, seriously. Every single one of them was a hypocrite who signed the document, the Constitution, the Declaration. Even there were a couple who weren't slave owners, I believe. They were as much hypocrites as anybody who was a slave owner who signed it. Why do we celebrate them? No, I really question this. I've questioned this in my own life for years. Why do we celebrate people who committed to parchment documents lies, deception, hypocrisy, deceit? Why? I mean, what the fuck? It's an honest question. And you know what? Nobody, when I was a younger person, nobody was ever able to give me an answer that made sense. So Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and the Nazis and the Klan and all these hate-mongering groups are the spawn of the hypocrites and liars and deceivers who wrote that shit to begin with. Well, there's nothing wrong with what they wrote. It's just they didn't believe it. They didn't live it. Just like Christians today, a bunch of lying fucking hypocrites. They tout their religion and they go to church and they sing their fucking hymns and none of them practice it. I'm talking about the churchgoers. A lot of people who, for some reason, have condemned themselves to Christianity and yet go ahead and do good works for people who desperately need it. But your average churchgoer, Christian churchgoer in this country, a total hypocrite, in addition to being a goddamn fool for believing that shit. I don't care what a person believes, as I've said many times, but keep it the fuck out of my face. Don't tell me that I'm not a good American because I don't subscribe to your fucked up, superstitious religion. This is church night, you know, it's Wednesday. Speaking of that, church membership, especially in the Catholic Church, is falling, and it's falling rapidly. Australia, the cardinal there, former Cardinal George Pell, who was the Vatican's chief financial officer and an advisor to the current Pope, Pope Francis. He was sentenced today to 6 years in prison for molesting two boys after Sunday Mass in 1996. Two boys. This rotten fucker probably sexually violated hundreds of boys. But they got him on two. The cardinal was convicted on five counts in December, but the Australian government allowed the court to keep it quiet until today. He is the first bishop to be found guilty in a criminal court for sexually attacking children. That's according to an organization website called bishopaccountability.org. bishopaccountability.org, which tracks cases of sexual violence by Catholic clergy. Here's how it was reported by the Times, who had reporters there. Cardinal Pell, who stood stone-faced with lips pursed when his sentence was read aloud, will not be eligible for parole for 3 years and 8 months. The chief judge in the case, Peter Kidd, said during the sentencing, quote, "I would characterize these breaches and abuses as grave." Speaking directly to this piece of shit Cardinal Pell, he said, quote, "Your conduct was permeated by staggering arrogance," end quote. Amen, amen, amen. Staggering arrogance. Now, he could have been sentenced to 50 years, but this old bastard, how old is he? He's in his 70s? The sentence will be closely scrutinized around the world. The hearing was broadcast live from the courtroom in Melbourne, Australia's second largest city, where Cardinal Pell first rose to prominence as an archbishop. I want you to hear some of this. It brings to a close 2 years of legal jockeying by his defense attorneys over evidence and accusations of sexual abuse, most of which were kept away from the public view by Australia's legal system until recently. And for Catholics all over the world, this sentence amounts to the toppling of a Vatican giant, a cleric of enormous power, who will now reside behind bars. Enormous power. I wonder what Jesus would say, you know, the rabbi, the Palestinian Jew who was Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder what he would say about this. I honestly do wonder. If I could speak his language, what was it, Aramaic? Oh, no, he spoke English. Yeah, I know. Anne Barrett Doyle, co-director of bishopaccountability.org, that website said, quote, "The importance of this case cannot be overstated. It will set a precedent," end quote. Victims of sexual abuse and advocates who attended the sentencing left with mixed feelings. Some called it a welcome, if small, dose of justice, while the others said the sentence was far too lenient. Yeah, he should have been locked up for the rest of his useless fucking life. Let him pray in a cell where there are no altar boys that he can butt fuck. Let him be in there. Phil Nagel, an advocate for abuse victims from a city in Australia, Ballarat, which is Cardinal Pell's hometown, said, quote, "Why should we take into account his age? He's ruined lives." That's why he got 7 years. The main complainant in the case, who is unnamed in accordance with Australian law that aimed to protect sexual abuse survivors, also made clear, the main complainant, that his pain and frustration would linger. He issued a statement through his lawyer, who read it aloud to reporters just minutes after the sentencing. His statement said, in part, "It is hard for me, for the time being, to take comfort in this outcome. I appreciate that the court has acknowledged what was inflicted upon me as a child. However, there is no rest for me. End quote. Now, this bastard's conviction was unsealed just 2 weeks ago when the court lifted, Australian court lifted a suppression order that had kept the guilty verdict a secret in Australia for months. The cardinal, who is 77, still maintains he's innocent. And his lawyers have said they will appeal the conviction. Now, this cardinal got a bunch of good boy letters, too. None of them came from God. None of them were signed Jesus or the apostles. One was signed by two former Australian prime ministers, including John Howard, who submitted a character reference as part of a push for a reduced sentence. Cardinal Pell was convicted on 5 counts of sexual abuse relating to 2 separate episodes. The most important evidence came from a single complainant who said that after a Sunday Mass in late 1996 at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Melbourne, he and another 13-year-old boy sneaked into the priest's sacristy, where they were discovered, reprimanded, and attacked by Cardinal Pell. According to the man's testimony, Cardinal Pell pushed the other boy toward his genitals, then moved on to the complainant. The cardinal put his penis into the complainant boy's mouth before telling him, the complainant, remove your pants, while touching himself and the boy's penis at the same time. Put his penis into the boy's mouth. Cardinal Pell was convicted of 3 counts of committing an indecent act with or in the presence of a child, and 1 count of sexual penetration of a child under the age of 16. A separate charge related to an episode some weeks later in which the same complainant said the cardinal pushed him up against a wall and squeezed his genitals. When Judge Kidd laid out these details in court before issuing his sentence, Cardinal Pell mostly sat still and looked straight ahead. But at other moments, when Judge Kidd described the abuse in detail, including the complainant's fear and pleas to be let go during the abuse, the cardinal closed his eyes. During the incident, Judge Kidd said, the boys were, quote, crying and sobbing, but Cardinal Pell told them to shut up. Cardinal Pell's legal team had tried to persuade jurors that no man of such prominence would risk it all to abuse 2 13-year-old boys. In a trial that began back in August, the approach worked. It ended with a mistrial. But a second trial that started in November yielded a conviction. In February, the cardinal was jailed while awaiting sentencing. Cardinal Pell appeared in court without his clerical collar. I saw a photograph. He was dressed in a coat and tie. In Australia, at least, there were few figures of any religion who were better known or more combative in matters of faith and politics than Cardinal Pell. He became a cardinal in 2005. He started his career as a parish priest in Ballarat, Australia, followed by stints as archbishop in Melbourne and later Sydney. He became a cardinal in 2005. In 2014, Pope Francis named him the prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy. That means he was in charge of the Vatican's vast finances. At every point, Cardinal Pell was a savvy financial operator and a culture warrior, like so many of these right-wing fuckers are, right? He could frequently be found raising money for conservative causes in Australia, publicly condemning homosexuality, and stepping into policy debates as well, opposing, for example, legislation to allow adoption by gay parents. You dirty, filthy pig, you. At the same time, he was trailed by accusations of sexual abuse reaching back to the 1960s. His denials always won out because, well, he was a man of God. He was a priest, a bishop, a cardinal. Eh? Until 2 years ago, when he returned to Australia from the Vatican to face a variety of charges. Besides the episodes for which he was convicted, a handful of other allegations from the 1970s nearly came to trial. Pell was accused of sexually molesting boys on their genitals while playing with them in a swimming pool and another boy in a lake. Those charges made all the way to pre-trial hearings, but after the judge deemed some evidence inadmissible, prosecutors decided not to proceed. This is what happens so often, right? The evidence is there, but maybe the way the evidence was obtained, which I think it should be done by the rules, maybe they didn't trust the boys who said, yeah, he did this to us and he did that to us. But somehow these slimy bastards, especially these ones who wear the clerical garb, they always manage to slip slide away, don't they? But after the judge, with a trial on those charges no longer pending and his conviction on what he was convicted of, the judge lifted his gag order, allowing news outlets in Australia to report Cardinal Pell's conviction. Interesting term, lifted his gag order. Yeah, we know what it means legally, but think about it. Since then, more allegations against Pell have emerged. The relatives of at least one victim, the second 13-year-old he was convicted of abusing, who later died, have said that they plan to sue Pell in the church and civil court. But on Wednesday, Judge Kidd implored the public to remember that Cardinal Pell was being sentenced only for the crimes he committed in 1996. The other crimes he managed to escape any form of justice. Survivors outside the courtroom said they hoped it would lead to greater accountability. David Emery, a 64-year-old survivor of priest rape, said a lot of them don't get sentenced. I remember 2 years ago when this filthy pig was left the Vatican and went back to Australia to face the charges against him. And his arrogant attitude. I mean, he'd been raping children since the 1960s when he was a seminarian and getting away with it. Why wouldn't he get away with it this time? But he didn't. And I often wonder, you know, I realize the Christian religion, the blood cult that is Christianity these days, and as it always has been, they give the sinners the perfect out. You are not admonished to live a life of decency and honesty and openness and reverence for life. You're not admonished to do that. You're told to follow the rules of the church. And that when you do sin, it's okay. It's okay. Come to the Father and confess. Do your penance. And then your slate is clean. And you can do it over and fucking over and fucking over. You can rape boys. You can murder people. You can steal, lie, cheat. You can be an arsonist. But the church knows, somehow they know this, that you'll be forgiven. And you'll be as pure as the wind-driven snow and ready to go sit on God's right hand with Jesus. Jesus would turn and look at you and throw up in your goddamn face if such bullshit existed. It's not sad, these stories. These stories are not sad. These are crimes perpetrated by an organization that wants you to believe shit flies, beings fly through the air, and spooks rise up out of the ground, and resurrections occur, and that Jesus, the rabbi, who only tried to tell people to stop fucking with each other, that he raised people from the dead, and he walked on the water, and he changed the water to wine, and he did all these wondrous things. No, he didn't. He walked around the Middle East telling people to stop being assholes. Well, how do you know that, Malloy? Trust me, I know. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stick around. Listen to the people. Listen to the people. People. Listen to the people. Boy, such pleasant things to talk about, huh? And, of course, I have the inimitable style to do just that. We will have a rebroadcast tomorrow, and then Friday, I'm 99.9% certain that on Friday we will be giving you the information about the new Malloy podcast. Okay? So be here for that. And by be here, I mean listen to your podcast. Because come Monday, the following workday, it will have all changed. So Friday is the announcement. Also, the publisher that we're using for to actually publish this book, we're having to self-publish. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it explains in part, and I hope the people who helped us get this going through Kickstarter, I hope they understand that we, being a first-time publisher, it's very, very, very difficult to get published, even if you've written a new version of the Bible, I guess. But what I wrote apparently was not in keeping with what a lot of publishers were looking for right now. And the fact that I've never been published before was a strike one or two against me. But undaunted, we march on. I think we have 600 copies that have already been promised, 100 of which are to be autographed. We have the dedication pages, the acknowledgement pages, as we promised. The turnaround time, here's the way it works. We send the manuscript via Dropbox to this publisher. The publisher then puts it in, what's it called? What's the initial form?
Typesetting.
They typeset it and send the proofs back to me. And then I go over actually every page. And there's 316 pages in this book as it stands right now. 316 manuscript pages. I don't know what that'll translate to in book pages. But I go over each page of the typesetting and see if there's any errors by the typesetter or however it's done. Then when I'm satisfied with what they have, then that goes back to the publisher. And then the process of actually printing the books begins. Now, depending on how backed up the presses are, what have you, I'm not sure. It could be anywhere from 1 week to 4 weeks. However, before you get your book. However, coming with the book, now you know about this too, don't you, Kathy? What will come with the books? An 800 number?
Full customer service.
Kathy would tell you, but your mic's not working. Yeah, well, it's the Malloy podcast. You will have a customer service number. Also, there will be a tracking number on each book that we send out. And via email, you will know where your book is and when it's supposed to be there. Just like when you buy something from Amazon, you can track it online. Same thing with these books. So I appreciate the patience. I'm surprised that we've not been sued over this long, long, long period of time since we promised. And then it just seemed like, you know, what are these people doing to us? I sent in $35. I sent in $300. One person, what did Janet send? 15? That was something else. Enormous amounts of money from some folks, reasonable amounts of money from other folks, what we asked for from other folks. So it's taken a long time. I sent a copy, not the copy that you're going to receive, but a copy that the people who came to our retreat back in the rainy season, I sent a copy of what they got to our good friend Bob Alexander in Vancouver. And his first comment was, thank God it's big type so I can read it. And he read it and critiqued it and yada, yada, yada. I think Bob are friends. When I wrote him an email the other day and said what I just told you, that the book is coming now, but there are pieces I have had to throw out. I've had to once again redo the entire opening of the book. Bob was very diplomatic, and I'm assuming that that what I heard was a diplomatic approach. He wanted to know what sections I had thrown out or decided not to include. And I said, look, rather than my telling it to you via email, you will get a copy, my friend, as he will. So tomorrow, a rebroadcast that Kathy will put together. And then on Friday, the announcement of how the Malloy podcast is changing radically. So please, if you are a podcast subscriber, pay attention to what we say on tonight's or tomorrow or Friday night's podcast whenever you hear that, because it'll determine how you subscribe or resubscribe. And we are going to include a fantastic bonus. I'll tell you about that Friday. Okay. Now, to close out this podcast. Well, there's a couple things here, but one thing that is important, the Senate is poised to rebuke. That sounds religious, doesn't it? I rebuke you! Rebuke Trump over his phony-assed, unconstitutional national emergency declaration at the U.S.-Mexico border. And they're going to do this because Trump shot down a compromise that was brokered by Republican senators. According to the Washington Post, Senator Mike Lee, right-winger from Utah, Republican, who was leading the compromise effort, announced plans. Mike Lee says he will defect and vote for legislation to nullify Trump's emergency declaration when a disapproval resolution comes to the floor tomorrow. Senator Lee made the announcement shortly after hearing directly from Trump today that his compromise, Mike Lee's compromise, which would have curtailed presidential emergency powers going forward, was not acceptable to the orange asshole. Mike Lee said in a statement this, quote, "For decades, Congress has been giving far too much legislative power to the executive branch. While there was attention on the issue, I had hoped the Article I Act," which is what he tried to get Trump to agree to, Article I referring to Article I of the Constitution that says where the powers are divided. "While there was attention on the issue, I had hoped the Article I Act would begin to take that power back. Unfortunately, it appears the bill does not have an immediate path forward, so I will be voting to terminate the latest emergency declaration," end quote. a polite way of saying Trump is a fucking Nazi dictator who is trying to consolidate power. And even though I, Mike Lee, am a fascist myself, I'm not quite a Nazi, so I'm voting against him. Lee's announcement ensures there will be a majority support for the disapproval resolution, which already passed the House, of course. Senate passage will then send the message to Trump, which will force him to veto it. Trump will, in effect, be vetoing Article 1 of the goddamn U.S. Constitution. Yeah, the same document I said a few moments ago was put together by a bunch of hypocrites. The document is fine. The people who signed it were hypocrites. You understand that? Now, the Congress lacks the votes at this moment to override Trump's veto. The Senate vote would still stand as, for a normal person, an embarrassing rejection of a key initiative by the President of the United States at the hands of his own party. But this is Trump. Trump doesn't get embarrassed. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care. He realized after he became a president the amount of power that was available to him. And he also came to realize that once he's out of the presidency, his ass stands a good chance of going to prison. It does. And he won't be able to pardon himself because if he does go to prison, he will be going to prison based on state charges in New York. Well, that's coming. Now, the effort by Mike Lee to craft legislation that would limit executive power going forward, emergency power, was seen as a way to limit the Republican defections who were going to go vote with the Democrats on this disapproval resolution. Trump called Lee, "Hello, is this Mike Lee?" to express his opposition to what Lee was doing. As Senator Lee lunched with fellow Republican senators at the Capitol, according to a person familiar with the phone call who spoke on condition of anonymity, four Republican senators already announced plans to vote against Trump. But one of those senators, Tom Tillis, one of these right-wing bastards from North Carolina, had indicated his vote could be in play depending on the outcome of the Mike Lee legislation. Well, the Mike Lee legislation now is dead. So I wonder what old Tom Tillis is going to do. That raised the possibility that Republican senators could limit defections enough to keep the disapproval resolution from passing. But that outcome now is out of reach. It will be defeated. And Trump will veto the defeat and Article 1 of the Constitution. John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, said, quote, "There was an effort, numerous efforts, to engage with the vice president and the president, but the president is not persuaded." Oh, that's such gentle language, you horse's ass. Suppose it was Obama. You scum. Cornyn added, "I don't know of any president that likes to give up power." Oh, really? Now, Trump has been warning Republican senators against crossing him on this vote, or he'll have them hit cement booties into the fucking Potomac, politically speaking. See, he's cast this vote against him as, not as a constitutional question, but an idea regarding border security, which it is not, and it never was. So, we will report Friday on what happens tomorrow and what the subsequent determination by Trump will be, whether or not to veto the first Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution. I'll see you Friday. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.